You know, all the astronauts that I had heard seemed to talk about, it makes them appreciate Earth all the more, and our responsibilities as custodians of Earth and with each other. And I found that really powerful.
That was Brad Pitt talking about his new outer space sci-fi adventure, Ad Astra, which is directed by James Gray and opens this week wide, as they say, in
worldwide, intergalactically.
Yes.
It's huge already on Venus.
In theaters everywhere. And I'm Neil Rose, and welcome to another podcast episode of Sitting Around Talking Movies. I'm joined, as always, by Bill Bregoli.
Ad infinitum, ad nauseum, you name it, we got it.
And, mostly nauseum.
And Bill McCuddy, back from some elaborate vacation travels that he was regaling us with before we started recording this podcast, but that's another story. So, Ad Astra, Bill McCuddy has not seen it, Bill Bregoli and I have. And I have to tell you, Bill, would you like to tell everybody what it's about?
Or it's about an astronaut who's...
Convince me to go or not go.
Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you one way or the other. I'm just going to start with a description of the plot, which is that Brad Pitt is an astronaut who's told that his father, whom he thought had disappeared during a space mission, was actually alive. And it seems that dad is sending back these giant power surges that could destroy the whole planet.
Neptune.
He's up on Neptune.
Neptune.
And he's Tommy Lee Jones, favorite junket interview.
I was always
He's appropriately cast as a prick in this movie. He's a space prick.
So it's a stretch.
And he's up there. And so Brad goes up there. He takes a commercial flight to the moon first.
Which takes like 3 hours, by the way.
3 hours. And peanuts are $125 a bag.
Wow.
I didn't catch that. Is that true?
That's true.
And when you get to the
moon. So what year is this supposed to be in?
Well, you know, this is the thing about this movie, and I'm going to let Bill finish his description, but it says, the first thing in the movie, it says, in the near future, which is complete bullshit, because if you're traveling to the moon in 3 hours and it's completely colonized with like Times Square tourist shops that are selling t-shirts and tchotchkes and bumper stickers.
That's in the good neighborhood. Remember, there's a bad neighborhood on the moon too.
Right.
Where Schwarzenegger
and then they go to Mars before Neptune, which is like 3 days away, you know, there is no technology that is developed that we have developed that could go at this near light speed.
All right, calm down, Elon Musk. All right,
this near future thing.
So
is
what happens?
Bullshit.
He gets up and he meets his father.
He gets his father, and the movie turns into what it really is, which
Brad,
is a father
you are my son.
Story. It's a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, okay.
And it's the same sort of exciting movie that First Man was.
Oh, well, see, no, hold it. I like First Man.
You
Nobody
like
else
First Man,
did,
but
so.
This was. I think First Man was, although not a great movie and kind of boring, much better than this. This, to me, is visually extremely impressive.
Great, gorgeous.
I mean, yeah, gorgeous to look at.
Long, I heard.
Like,
2 hours
Kubrick
and change.
Kubrick's 2001, kind of like with those great sets of...
But it also, like 2001, has a couple of head-scratching moments, I'm told. I'm told there are three big ones, and you go, wait, what just happened? Which I can like. I can enjoy that sort of thing.
There's no head-scratching moments in this. Here's what this whole movie is. This whole movie to me
Maybe everything goes over
well,
your
first
head,
First of all, but let me just tell you that, yes, the surface of the moon where they have this kind of, not race, but kind of chase.
There's a chase. Zero gravity knife fight, which is a cool idea.
Like a thunder.
Rovers.
Yeah, yeah.
These lunar rovers.
It's Mad Max on the moon.
Yeah, there are space
and then
pirates.
What's the girl who shows up in the movie for 3 minutes on Mars? She's in Russian Dolls, and she's also in Orange is the New Black, Natasha Lyonne.
Yeah.
She like she shows up there for like 2 minutes. Welcome
Strange
to Mars.
Cameo, yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. Welcome
the
to
day's
Mars.
Work. She's
you
done.
Know, and yeah, so it's visually stunning. But that's all, that's no
Brad,
reason.
Well, tell them that Brad Pitt's character is so introspective and so dull.
Well,
is it like Solaris? Remember the George Clooney thing that Soderbergh did a long time ago? Solaris?
Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah,
Natasha McElhone. Yeah,
to Bill,
not even anybody as cute as
Natasha
McElhone.
Okay. I'm not going. No, you've already convinced me not to go. You've done enough. But let me just say this, because we go on and on about these movies we don't like.
To Bill Bregoli's point, it's emphasized throughout the movie how emotionless Brad Pitt's character is.
And that's mission accomplished.
His heart rate never goes above 70.
Okay.
And he's kind of like, and then he's alone on this spacecraft for like this 3-month journey. And it's
You talked me out of it.
The character is boring. You can't really connect to the character.
You had me at the moon.
And the movie's a snooze fest.
Okay, so you got me. So, okay, here's my question, though. This is more important
because
it moves the conversation along. Listen to me. There's some talk that Brad Pitt is now being considered as supporting actor for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Is this his Norbit?
No.
So the year, let's explain. The year that Eddie Murphy was a shoo-in for Dreamgirls, they said, "Oh, this piece of shit came out, and that's why he didn't win."
Won't. This is actually
this hurt him?
No, because this is the kind of movie that it's getting some really good reviews.
He is.
The movie is.
Oh, the movie.
The movie is getting good reviews, but this is the kind of movie that critics love, and frankly, regular folks are going to go be really disappointed.
Well, I'm a critic, you're a critic. Did you like it?
No, I didn't. I was disappointed.
I was bored. Really bored. I mean, it was. I was lost in space in this thing.
I was bored too. So.
Okay, now actually, I'm going to go.
All right, go ahead.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, why?
Wait till a screener.
Because if you hated it, I've got to see it.
No, it's just...
Wait for the screener.
It's just...
But you said it's beautiful looking.
Yeah.
Is that any reason to go to a movie, really?
Yeah.
Because it looks great.
I don't know.
The character is lifeless. By the way, the payoff, which I'm not going to say, the end of the movie, is like, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah,
really?
That didn't make
any
sense.
I sat through an hour and 45, 50 minutes to get to this point, and that's what you're showing me?
One of the head-scratching moments is, how did he get from there to there?
I mean, it's just ridiculous. I'm not connected to it emotionally. I'm not interested in the storyline. It's just basically, most of the movie is him trying to get to Neptune, and then when he gets there, there's this stupid 10-15 minutes.
All right,
there's
next.
No there there. Absolutely.
Okay.
Next, why don't you tell us about this movie that opens in theaters and is also streaming on demand starting Friday of this week, the 20th, called Corporate Animals, Bill.
Well, this is the problem. The people think dark, cool ideas are going to be comedically interesting. And Demi Moore, who I've never thought of as a comedian...
She's a riot.
is leading
what a cut up a, and go
kind of a corporate retreat into a cave, and from there it looks very cheaply shot and spends a tremendous amount of time. And it's basically The Office goes into a cave. Or remember when the Brady Bunch wandered into that Hawaiian island and
no,
got
I don't
lost.
Remember that. But interesting that you do.
Okay. Well, anyway,
what other television shows did you watch?
I'm saying is that if The Office made a movie about people who then start eating each other when they realize they've run out of food, that would be this film, which in different hands might have actually been kind of amusing. But this is so almost like a SNL sketch, kind of on the page, in your face. Kind of a thing, except for something that happens to Demi, which I found almost laugh out loud funny. I can't recommend this movie.
This is awful. I watched this with my wife, and we sat there saying, like, several times during the movie, I can't believe that somebody actually said, okay, here's money. Go make this movie. The jokes are just not funny. To say it's predictable, I mean, yeah, they're stuck in a cave and they start eating each other. There's nothing redeeming in this movie. Ed Helms, who is in this movie, is also one of the producers.
Yeah.
Which in his career, look, it shows you how far Demi Moore's career has fallen that she's agreed to do this piece of shit. And Ed Helms, whose career was doing pretty well, for him to like be one of the producers on this says a lot about his taste and what he's doing. But he was on Jimmy Kimmel promoting this, and I'm going like, oh, man. I mean, he's making it so, this is so funny, and we're in the cave. I mean, I found this to be humorless, although they tried very hard to make you laugh. But it's just stupid humor. All the other actors, there's like six of them in the cave. I didn't know who really any of them were. They were not funny either. I think it's a sad statement on where Demi Moore's career is and that she would take something
yeah,
like
I could
this.
See where she thought it was daring, but she doesn't have really the comedy chops to pull it off.
There's nothing in this movie that's worth seeing. Have we enticed you to see this, Bill Burgard?
Not at all.
Demi Moore keeps her clothes on.
Then
case closed.
That's it. Then.
You're never showing up.
Yeah, it's all just right. It's just really dopey.
Isn't there a Rambo movie opening this week?
This is really funny to me.
Which I guess they didn't screen for critics.
No, they did.
Did they really?
Louisa didn't get invited.
They know better.
Yeah, they knew.
This is, First Blood was the first Rambo movie, and this is Rambo
what
Last
year
Blood.
What was First Blood?
83, I think.
Yeah, it's like 40-something years ago.
Yeah. Almost 40, yeah. Wow.
I mean, God love him. The guy, you know, still does the sit-ups and looks like something. We should fully disclose, as you mentioned a moment ago,
30,
none of us has seen it yet.
30
so,
what on Rotten Tomatoes?
34%, I think, on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, look, if you're a fan, you're going to go.
Well, how many have there been?
This is the fifth.
The fifth one. That's what I thought.
But here's a sign. It's Lionsgate this time, and they like that kind of Saw kind of violence, and supposedly this is really graphic. And I think it was Variety or the Hollywood Reporter's critic said, this is a movie where when Sylvester Stallone says, I'm going to rip your heart out, you can take his word for it. So I guess we're going to see. And I guess if you're Sylvester Stallone and you're seeing the trend towards like torture porn, you're willing to get involved in something like this.
Well, what's
but that's
he even
where this
doing this time? I mean, you know, last time, I mean, the first time it was.
I think he's training somebody and he's caught in his
house. It was
no,
Vietnam.
He's living in Arizona with his adoptive family. He has a Mexican wife and his stepdaughter goes to Mexico against his advice and is kidnapped by a cartel.
Okay, but at some point he's underground in a bunch of tunnels and passageways.
Yeah, that's to show that he has PTSD, apparently.
Okay, great.
I've read up on it. I haven't seen it, but I've read up on it.
Great. Well,
34% Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Rambo. I mean, I thought the last one was the last one, but that's what they've been saying about.
And supposedly he said he's
all the Rockies.
He has said that if this one does well, there will be a sixth.
Is that
oh
true?
My God.
Yeah.
So, they reinvented the Rocky franchise.
Yeah, they get
by
young Rambo.
By making him the Mickey the Trainer.
But what do you call it after Last Blood? Absolutely no blood.
Post-mortem?
Are there more Rocky films coming? I mean,
Bloodless.
With Michael B. Jordan, is there another one of those?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think so.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Why not? They're all making money.
So basically, Stallone created two characters in his career that
he refuses to walk away from.
That he's, and although he's played other roles, you know, what was the one with De Niro? That serious movie with Robert De Niro. He goes, you blew it. You blew it. Where he was. Anyway.
Oscar? No, that was a comedy.
No, that's a comedy. But anyway, he's milked these two roles for forever, really. I mean, for his entire career. I mean,
all right, here's the question. Who could take who in a bar fight? Rambo, Rocky. Rocky versus Rambo. Who's the winner?
Rambo would have a weapon and Rocky would be trying to
fight. Uh-oh, here's Stallone calling now. You know, this is very annoying when Sylvester actually. You got to pay that HBO bill.
So I'm sorry, I got
or
distracted.
Just keep calling.
What were you saying before?
Who could take who in a bar fight?
Rambo, because he's got the weapons. Is Bill Bregoli just?
Yeah, but you can't get those into a bar. Just
you
combat,
just like,
hand
just
on,
hand,
yeah,
hand,
yeah,
hand to hand combat.
Probably still Rambo
in their prime or now, like Rambo.
Well, they're both the same.
No. But I'm just saying. No, because the Rocky character.
Yeah, okay.
The Rocky character, if you've been following that, has a lot of physical ailments.
Oh.
I'm not sure if the Rambo guy.
I really opened Pandora's box here, didn't I?
No, I mean, you asked the question.
Okay.
Rocky's got, like, physical problems.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, you know.
So it'd be kind of cruel that Rambo kicks the shit out
Rocky
of him.
Rocky circa 19. What was that stupid movie where it was a Rocky-esque thing where Rocky had a fight with I did the junket on this. It was like a
that
grudge.
That means you should be able to.
Yeah, it was a grudge match. It was like they were opponents like 30 years earlier, and the old guy, it was Robert De Niro and
that's the De Niro one you're talking
match,
about.
I think it was.
Grudge match.
Yeah, it was grudge match. So Rocky circa 1976 versus Rambo circa whatever year his
83.
First movie.
Yeah.
Who would win hand-to-hand combat? Rocky.
Oh.
If you just
a technical. Yeah.
Without weapons, yeah, because Rocky would get the shit kicked out of him for a while, but then he'd come back in that like towards the end of the fight, you know, and he would just.
Right.
Who do you think?
I don't know. One of them would break a bottle and shove it into the neck of the other one. No weapons. Well, there's a bottle.
I think the linchpin is if Adrian was there. If Adrian was in the bar, I think Rocky wins.
So I watched the Comedy Central roast. I'm halfway through it. of because it got
for
very
you.
It got very no, it's long. A very good notices. People said it's one of the funniest roasts of this one of Alec Baldwin. And I have to tell you that what I've seen so far, I saw the first half, it is really one of the funnier roasts that I've seen. If you're going to watch it, try and watch it.
All at once.
Stream it
on try and get through
your
the
computer
whole thing.
Because it's not censored. So all the you know curse words are not bleeped. And there's some really funny lines in this thing.
I was embarrassed for Robert De Niro. He's the bunt of a lot of jokes. Really funny. I think they call him aging. Yeah, they call him Aging Bull, which I thought was Jeffrey Ross. But when he gets up there and does it, he's doing a couple of funny things, but he's also doing jokes that are written for him, and they're kind of beneath him. It's kind of like not
well,
what he should
be
doing.
Most of the people on that panel mentioned the fact that I can't believe Robert De Niro is here. Like, what are you doing here?
Right.
Like,
so then he gets up and goes,
why are you lowering yourself to
what
do
the
this?
Fuck am I doing here? And then he says, when you have roast someone, everyone they've worked with usually shows up. And then he goes through the list of people who aren't there. Tina Fey, you know, blah, blah, blah. Lorne Michaels, blah, 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 blah. And he says he's there. But then he does some stuff that you can tell they wrote for him. And
I think they wrote everything for him. There's a football guy, an NBA guy there or something. Yeah, they write.
Caitlyn Jenner was there, and a very good sport because she gets the butt brunt, whatever you want to call it.
Well,
a lot of
you
the
know,
material.
If you're going to do something like this, I mean, I guess I remember the old Friars Club roasts when I was a kid. They would show them in like the late 1960s, early 1970s. The person getting roasted would be the person who was getting roasted. Now it's you get up there like.
I think that they would make fun of everyone on the dais.
Everybody on the dais, and then they go, okay, and now so everybody's sitting there.
I think the old ones did that too. I don't think you're remembering it right.
I mean, I remember the editing of the old ones. Would it be a reaction shot that looked like it was shot the week before?
Right, right.
The Dean Martin ones or the Frost?
The Dean Martin ones definitely were shot in segments and stuff.
There's a story about the Dean Martin ones where one of the comedians said, I used to do these all the time, and there was nobody there.
Like
they would have just names of people on a fake dais so you'd be able to look at them and know who you were talking to. And there wasn't an audience. You would just do it. They would just add a laugh track, and they would just cut it. And if you watch, and sometimes late at night, they have these Time Life. Now you can get the Dean Martin roast,
right.
And you could just hear it's just this canned laughter from like a sitcom that's just going in there, you know, like you used to watch on the Brady Bunch, Bill. You know, it's just the you know your beloved show, the Brady.
Or you used to watch on Phil Silvers, or I'm sorry, when you listened to the radio, some of those shows.
Hey,
on my Victrola, I would listen to a comedy.
The record player.
The record player. The Joe Biden record player. Yeah. So. But the fry, I've been to a couple of fry
yeah, I have
roasts,
too.
You know, they go on forever. I mean, these things are edited. They're like right. 4 hour.
But we should make the point, the Friars does not do this anymore. Comedy Central does. They licensed it a few years ago.
The Friars doesn't televise it anymore.
Right, but they're not. They don't get paid. They don't. It was considered to be, after a certain number of years, it was considered something that anybody could do. And so Comedy Central started doing it. And they pay the people like Alec Baldwin or Donald Trump $1 million. And the $1 million is often donated, in this case, to one of Alec Baldwin's favorite charities.
Well, Comedy Central used to televise the Friars Club thing, and then they got, like you said, they got tired of paying the Friars Club, so they're like, well, I don't need the Friars Club roast, right. We'll just make it the Comedy Central roast. So the Friars Club is now not doing roasts at all.
Correct.
Interesting.
But they have a trove of the old ones, and I'm working with them, and in the next couple of podcasts I may be able to tell you about a documentary that they're going to do about them.
I wonder if, I mean, it was...
But no, you started making a much better point, which is that this stuff still exists in this day and age, and which is astounding, because there are lots of black jokes, there's lots of Asian jokes, there's lots of gay jokes, tons of transgender jokes. And as we are, I don't know that this is how it's going to end up, but as we are recording this,
the guy,
have we forgotten his name already? I don't know it, but one of the three new Saturday Night Live.
They announced three new cast members on Saturday Night Live. One of them, whose background was predominantly, they're either stand-up comics or they come from the Groundlings or another improvisational troupe. This guy was a stand-up comic. And after he was hired, a day or two later, it surfaced that some of it was material or was it some tweets or something
It was in a podcast. funny enough. So we should watch ourselves here.
Yeah.
And he was, it was a comedy-based podcast he was doing with somebody else.
He was making fun of some Asian.
And yes.
Was it Justin Trudeau? Oh, that was somebody else. That was something else.
Look, I don't think this is right. I don't think that.
Well, Rob Schneider, of all people, came out. I don't know if you read that. In a whole defense of this guy saying political correctness has gone too far. And blah, blah. Then he got a lot of shit on Twitter from people going, Rob Schneider, where's your career been? Adam Sandler's not even using
it. But the real question is, how do these roasts get away with it? Is it because, like Don Rickles, the world kind of grandfathers them in and
right,
says
so Don,
it's okay?
That, well, that's the Don, exactly what you said. That's the Don Rickles conundrum. In this era of political correctness, Don Rickles was able to get up there before he died a couple of years ago and still say, you know, all of his offensive stuff, which if a younger comic said a fraction of what Don Rickles said, you know, he would be crucified. So maybe it is grandfathered in. The roasts, I don't know. I'm watching this thing and I'm like, wow. I mean, this is very politically. I don't know. Do you have an answer? Do you have an answer, Bill?
No. Don't watch them, so I don't know.
I think it is a double standard, and I think it's ripe for somebody to go, hey, how come they get to do it and they don't get to do it? And I think that day is coming. I hope it's not a day that kills the roast, because freedom of speech should be freedom of speech.
Well, this roast got great reviews. I mean, I watched it because people were saying, this is a great roast, you know? To me, the greatest roaster, I mean, Jeff Ross is great, but the greatest of them all sadly died. And to me, that was Greg Giraldo. I don't know if
he was good. I mean,
I thought he was.
They can
brilliant.
All have hot nights. They take some of their material and add some.
It's also a star-making vehicle. Like some people, if they kill, like Amy Schumer came out of that thing. She had one. I don't remember whose roast it was, but she killed. And
I think I've told this story before.
And so did Lisa Lampanelli.
Did Whitney Cummings. So Whitney Cummings did the Quentin Tarantino roast, and it was never televised. But the buzz, there's 3,500 people in that room.
Why?
That one just wasn't. That,
was it a Comedy Central or Friars?
They Friars.
Oh, yeah, they stopped televising those, right?
So they shot it, and it was like, there's 3,500 people in this ballroom. That's the other thing. Like Comedy Central produces like a little 250-person, a game show set. The Friars has got this Last Supper of like 40 people sitting up there in a dais. And I saw Whitney Cummings up there for the first time. This is going to be like it's more like 10 years ago now. And I never heard of her. And she got up and just killed. And I thought, oh man, this girl is, first of all, she was stunning looking, but also really, really
funny.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. It could, if you're a comic who's trying to find your footing, like most people, I knew who she was because I hang out at comedy clubs. Michelle Wolf, not from a roast, but most people didn't know who she was. And she killed at the White House Correspondents.
And it can also bring back some people.
Got her a show, which got canceled on that.
Caroline Ray is in this one.
That's correct.
And Caroline Ray is the only thing she's done really recently. She is on Match Game with Alec. So that's probably why she's there. But they talked about her being on Sabrina the Teenage Witch for 180 episodes, and that's more teens than it's always topical, and they, I guess there was a black cat on that, and so they say De Niro loved that because he's partial to black pussy. I mean, like, they're getting away with this stuff.
Right. Well, it's interesting that you referenced that joke when you were talking about the political incorrectness. I wasn't even going to say the joke on this podcast, but that is the joke I was thinking of, and you could never get away with something like that, like out of the forum of that kind of thing. So they're just, nobody gives a shit about what they're saying. It's as politically incorrect and as offensive as you could possibly be. So I don't know why that gets a. But you know, back to your SNL cast member being fired and then hired and then fired, Bill's getting up like he's trying to leave. Now you made me lose my train of thought.
No, back to the SNL cast member being fired.
I don't know.
Why is there a double standard attached to...
Oh, I was going to say that I remember when Trevor Noah got The Daily Show, some tweets that he
that was huge.
Surfaced. You know, it just seems that when any comic is getting a job these days and stuff, they're going to really vet you and go through all of
your
stuff. You know?
I guarantee you the other two people who have new parts on SNL just didn't have anything on tape that could incriminate them. They've said it. It's just not out there.
Well, it's tougher it's hard for not a stand-up to. Comic, you know, than an improvisational person because, you know, they're doing improv skits. It's harder to find something that than a stand-up who's actually going out to try to be daring.
Yes, that so, tone of a Mac computer can tell you that Neil has opened it up,
to talk
which means
about,
he's got a big topic he wants to talk about.
I want to talk about the Emmy Awards, which are on this weekend.
Oh, boy. And who's hosting?
Who is hosting?
Nobody. That's, no, it's a nobody. They're copying, they're copying the Oscars.
Interesting. Interesting. And the marvelous Mrs. Maisel is the odds on. We're going to talk about Gold Derby. I'm looking at the Gold Derby site, which is what Bill McCuddy write. You still with that site, Bill?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So they're saying the odds on favorite to win best comedy series is the marvelous Miss Maisel, but Veep is also in there. And Russian Doll, the Natasha Lyonne, which I thought was
that's
really
a comedy?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's sci-fi funny.
Okay.
You know, that's in there.
And
you know,
Veep, I'm
sick of
Veep. The Emmys are like, yeah, and they're always.
Did you ever see Schitt's Creek? That's nominated. I watched. It was highly recommended to me. I watched over the weekend the first three episodes from season one, and I don't find it as funny as people are saying that it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's got. I think it has.
It's got Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara,
like, yeah.
And
I don't know who the other two are.
Eugene Levy, but the Eugene guy Levy. From Chris Elliott.
Love Chris Elliott.
Wonder where he's been.
And I didn't. I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not. You know. So I don't know. I probably think. I think Marvelous Mrs. Maisel was not as good as season one, and Veep is probably going to win because it's sentimental. I think Julia
Louis-Dreyfus. That's the last season for Veep, right?
Yeah. So, Julia Louis-Dreyfus will probably win again for Veep, or is it going to be Rachel Brosnahan for Mrs. Maisel?
Ooh. Oh, we'll have to tune in.
And your show, Barry, which you like, it's an HBO show.
Uh-huh.
Bill Hader is the odds-on favorite to win in that category, according to Gold Derby, but Ted Danson is in there for The Good Place, and so is Michael Douglas for a series I really like called
The first
The Kominsky
two of those.
Project, which I thought was great, and Eugene Levy's nominated too. And in the drama, we're going over to the drama.
I'm scrolling.
Drama series Game of Thrones, which just ended.
Oh yeah,
is the odds on favorite on that one? Is that going to
is the Jackie Gleason show in there? These fucking Emmys will go back 40 years before they like stop nominating.
From the fun and sun capital of the world, it's the Jackie Gleason
Miami
show
Beach
with the June Taylor dancers. Listen, Ozark, which is probably my favorite show that's on this list, or maybe that or Better Call Saul. I don't know. I'd like them to win, but it's probably going to be this Game of Thrones shit, as it always is, you know?
Well, there's an interesting in the best actress in a drama series.
Sandra Oh?
You got Sandra Oh against her co-star, Jodie Comer.
Oh, well, you think they'll cancel each other out?
That's
or
a possibility.
Will Emilia Clarke for Game of Thrones win?
And
you know?
If it's a
I'm
Game of
the
Thrones
edge of my
night.
Seat.
Yeah.
Or Robin Wright.
An interesting story is that one member of the Game of Thrones cast, Gwendolyn Christie, was not her name was not submitted as a possibility by the Game of Thrones people, so she submitted herself and got nominated.
I love that.
So that's very cool, and she's up for. I think
so
it's supporting
her.
Yeah, it must be.
Interesting.
But good for her.
Good for her is right. And if we move over to, I don't know. I like Jason Bateman in Ozark. I don't know if he's.
Did he win last year?
I don't think he's ever won for that show. And Billy Porter is the odds-on favorite for a show called Pose, which I'm not really that familiar with.
Oh, that's a cool show.
With the show, but Laura Linney's also nominated in Ozark. I like Ozark, you know. You know who's good?
Tell us.
Do you ever watch Ozark? Julia Garner, who plays the
little blonde woman.
Yeah, the redneck girl who's really like kind of like
she kind of stole parts of season one.
She's
I
the odds-on
she
favorite
that.
to win the
good
Emmy
for her.
You know, unless it's a Game of Thrones just onslaught. I want to look at one more category, two more
Please
categories,
do.
Actually. I want to talk about the TV movie category, which, I'm sorry, the limited series thing. I think that, although it's not favored to win, that Chernobyl thing, I think, is going to probably win.
Did you ever watch all of that?
No, I got to finish that. And Fosse.
One of the best things HBO's ever done.
Fosse Verdon is in there.
Yeah, I Mrs. McCuddy and I got about halfway through that and just never finished it. It's not because it isn't good.
Same,
it
me too. There was like seven or
didn't
eight
get
episodes.
To the finish
line. I got to like episode five or six. Yeah. But it's one of these things. It's like I got to get back to it. I got to finish it.
I can't remember where I got. I think I got to 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. Finally,
that's
you listened to
very,
something.
It's actually very, very clever.
Okay.
And last but not least, the variety. My favorite category, the variety talk show series. Now, the odds-on favorite on your site here is Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, which always wins. And as Jim Jefferies, who hosts a very good show on Comedy Central, goes, there are other shows, Emmy people. There are others.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think
is Last Spade's Week... new show up there?
No, that probably wouldn't be eligible yet. Time, yeah. But the nominees in that category are Last Week Tonight with John Oliver and Colbert's thing and Samantha Bee's show, Full Frontal, and The Daily Show.
Boy, that
show.
Was hot for a while, and now I don't hear any buzz about that. And she's very talented, but I just don't... The buzz has gone
off.
Yeah,
and Jimmy Kimmel's up there, but... they say that the odds on favor is this John Oliver show, and I don't think it's a weekly half an hour show. He just sits at a desk. They examine topics. I think Bill Maher
does a
that's
really
the
good
show.
Job.
Thank you. I think that's the best talk
down.
Show that's
Jesus,
on there.
The doctor says it's time for your medicine.
I think not politically incorrect. Real Time with Bill Maher is not nominated. I think that's the best. Sketch, and then they got the sketch series category.
Here's the third. He's sneaking the third
SNL
character.
Is favorite. I mean, how's anything going to beat SNL in this? I mean, if I tell you the other shows, is that Sacha Baron Cohen show that's going up against it? You know what I'm talking about? Who is America?
Yeah.
That's the one where he kind of tried to – they never aired it. He commandeered Sarah Palin, right. And, you know, there's Drunk History I don't know. This is some Documentary Now. I don't even know what that is. And
you know what Documentary Now is.
Come on.
It's the thing on IFC that Fred Armiston. And,
oh, yes.
And they do a different style every week. And it's wildly ambitious. I just don't watch.
Saturday Night Live will probably.
Don't watch.
All right. Well, there you go. So what's opening next week, Bill Bregoli?
I have no idea.
Judy is opening next week.
Judy, but there's a bigger one.
I'm seeing Judy on Monday.
The Abdominal Snowman movie is opening.
The Abdominal?
There's an Abdominal Snowman.
It's a snowman.
He's got six-pack abs.
He's got gastrointestinal problems, Snowman. You remember that movie with Michael Keaton?
Abominable. That's the word. Abominable. Oh, wow. That's the only big wide release Universal.
Well, do you remember that Michael Keaton movie where he's the dad and he dies and he comes back as a snowman?
Yeah, and I said he looks just like Larry Miller. If you put Larry Miller, the comedian's face, next to that snowman, and I actually told Larry that one time, he goes, oh my God, I should have gotten some money. You're absolutely right. It looks just like him.
Why would Michael Keaton, which he was kind of on the top of his game, I mean, at that point, why would he do a movie like that? Seriously. Like, you could understand Kurt Russell doing Santa Claus movie at the stage in his career, but Michael
Cuba Gooding Jr. syndrome. Like, you get an Oscar, and then you make Snow Dogs.
Yeah.
All right, that's our show.
It's
a lot. We packed a quart into a pint jar.
Well, thanks for sitting around talking movies with us, and we'll sit around talking with you, talk movies again with you next week.